you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. And I want to look at the last four verses in the chapter this morning. Numbers chapter 6. The beginning part of the chapter is talking about the consecration and the laws involved with becoming a Nazarite, or the law of the Nazarites, and someone who would take a vow. It could be a man or a woman that could take the vow to become a Nazarite. And it basically, if you go through and read that, you'll find that it's a lot of consecrating themselves and consecrating their lives to following the Lord in a very special way by setting yourself apart from much of the world. And there were certain things that you would not eat and drink and things that you would not do. You can read that, but that's the laws concerning a Nazarite, or the vow of a Nazarite. And God would certainly bless people who chose to take that vow and to consecrate themselves in that way. And again, it was men or women could do it. But as we get to the very last part of the chapter here, I came across this earlier during the week, and I began to think about what it meant, what it was saying. And it's talking about a blessing from the Lord for his people. I just cannot stop thinking about how God has blessed this little body of believers in the last couple of years, and especially last year. God just poured out his manifold blessings upon Andrew Church last year in a very, very powerful way. I hope you know that not every church is blessed to the extent that we were last year. They're just not. And I hope you know how thankful that we all ought to be to our gracious Lord for the way that he's blessed us and the way that his sweet spirit has come and filled this assembly and filled the hearts of his people. And it's been very special. And was thinking about how God had blessed us and how here we are rolling into a new year. And here's the first Sunday of the new year. And just thinking and praying that God would continue to bless Andrew Church and the Andrew Church family throughout this coming year. And that he would bless our natural families in our homes and all of our children and grandchildren. But you know, I think some people in the world today, some of the Lord's little children, don't exactly remember how much it is that the Lord loves them and wants to bless them. I think some of the Lord's children seem to live sometimes with a fear of God, that he is just every day, God is judging them and he's waiting. In other words, he's the judge and the jury, and he's waiting to punish or penalize them for the first little thing they do wrong every day. I think some people live that way. But that's not really the God of the Bible. Now, certainly God has taught us in his word that he does punish disobedience. I mean, there are penalties that we incur for disobedience, and there are many, many blessings that we lose or can lose because of disobedience. But I'll tell you, the overarching theme of the Bible is that God is a loving God, and he has chosen out his people, and he has placed his love and his blessings upon his people. In Jeremiah chapter 29, God said these words through the prophet Jeremiah, but he said them in regards to his people. He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I'm not sure all of God's little children today realize that God has given us an expected end. Now, I think a lot of them know it, and I trust that you know it this morning. But I think a lot of the Lord's children sometimes forget that God has given us an expected end by virtue of all the things that he's done for us and his perfect plan of salvation that he has designed. And the end result of it is he's given us an expected end. We know where we're going to end up because of God's work and because of the love that he has for us. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil. God has thoughts toward his people, and they're good thoughts. And I'm glad to know that, and I'm glad that we can remind each other of that. Here at the end of this chapter, God is going to give some express commands, some exact words that he wants the high priest Aaron and his sons, who are the other priests in the priesthood, to bless his people with. It's not that often that God records a prayer in the Bible with exact words, but you remember the Lord's Prayer when the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the Lord gave them some words as a guideline of how to pray, the Lord's Prayer. And that's always good to look at that, and that's good to keep in mind. But here's another place where the Lord gave some exact words here. And these are the very words of God to be repeated unto his people by the high priest Aaron. Now he's speaking this to Moses, his servant, and Moses is going to tell his brother Aaron these very words to bless the people with. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. His exact words to Aaron are, you tell my people, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. There's a lot of good thoughts in just that one verse, isn't it? About the Lord blessing us and the Lord keeping us. The very words of God. And quickly, I want to read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first six verses, because it fits in very well with these blessings that God is speaking about. And it's talking about obedience here. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken. Now, you know, we don't hardly use the word hearken today in our common language, in our common speech, do we? We don't say hearken. You might, if you're in a Shakespeare play and you're doing a play, you may use the word hearken, but we don't typically use it in our everyday conversation. But the word's pretty important. It means to listen and to give heed. It means more than just to hear. It means listen and give heed to it. Hearken. He says, it'll come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now I can see the principle developing already. God is ready to bless his people. He is giving a heartfelt promise that he will bless his people, but some obedience is tied in with it and connected with it. He says we are to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. We need to listen and to give heed. And he says that these blessings will come on thee and they'll overtake thee if we'll hearken to the voice of the Lord. It's something important about following the voice and the commandments of the Lord, isn't it? It's very important that we do that because God said, our blessings, many of our blessings are contingent upon us doing that. You see, God's made a connection here. If we do this, he's promised to do this. If we obey him, if we hearken to his word, and we follow him, and we're obedient, he's promised to bless us. And that's a promise from God he'll never go back on. God will never break his promise. God cannot lie. It's impossible that God can lie. He's telling you the truth. And he says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. And he says, and blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. God says, every aspect of your life will be blessed when you hearken unto me and you follow and listen and follow and obey my commandments. He said, every part of your life will be blessed. He says, your families will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Your crops in the field will all be blessed. And your cattle, your herds, and your flocks, they'll be blessed. Every part of your life will be blessed by following me. And God's given that promise. And he says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. That word store means a kneading trough where you would knead bread. If you mixed up the dough to make bread, they would knead it with their hands, and they'd have a little wooden trough they'd set it in to do that. He says, I'll bless your food. I'll bless your tables. I'll bless the bread that you have to eat. And he says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Every aspect of our lives, God has promised to bless if we'll just simply follow him in obedience. I love that. God says there are blessings available for my people. He says, I have every desire, every wish and every desire and every intention to bless my people abundantly. You see, that's the heart of the God that we serve. He's not out holding up the hammer, ready to drop the hammer on us, the first little mistake that we make in life. God is not like that. God is very long-suffering with his children. But he says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. I'll tell you, if the Lord doesn't keep us, we're going to be lost. Things are going to happen. We're going to lose our way if the Lord doesn't keep us. I hope that we always remember that. I hope that we remember how important it is that God is, in fact, keeping us. Paul said in the Philippian letter that he was confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I trust that you know this morning it is the Lord himself that has begun a good work in you. We have read, we have studied, and we have talked about before all the different things that God has begun in his people, in the hearts and in the minds and the spirits of his people. He has begun this amazing work because he's going to give you an expected end. God has foreknown you. God has chosen you. God has elected you. God has predestinated you. And God has saved you. He's redeemed you. He has promised you and given you an inheritance in heaven. God has done all these things. He has set in motion all these things pertaining to his plan of salvation. He is the one that has begun a good work in you. But did you notice what Paul said? He said, I am confident that the one who started the work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is not going to stop performing this great work because he's giving you an expected end, and he's going to make sure that it comes to fruition. What a great God that we serve this morning. You see, when God tells Aaron to bless the people and say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord is keeping us. Peter is the one that said, in 1 Peter 1:5, Peter said that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by what? The very power of God. The power of God is keeping us every single day. He's begun a good work. He's going to continue performing it. Peter says we're kept by the power of God. That's why Jesus could say in John chapter 10, Jesus said words like this. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life." I cannot read that passage of Scripture and not stop and think to myself how important it is and how significant that it is that Jesus used the word give. "I give unto thee eternal life." You know, much of the denominational world thinks that he offered eternal life. And it's presented and it's taught as that he offered eternal life. And that it's up to us to make a decision and to choose that. But that's not what Jesus said. His exact words are is that he gave us eternal life. You know, if one of you have the flu bug, I hope you don't have it, but if one of you happen to have the flu bug, and I came to visit, maybe you didn't know you had it, maybe you're in the beginning parts of it and you didn't know you had it. Say I came to visit, and I happened to sit close to you, and we visited for a little while, and I would leave there, what probably is going to happen to me? It's a good chance I might get the flu, right? Well, did you offer me the flu? No. Did I accept the flu? No. What'd you do? You gave me the flu. Well, eternal life is the same way. God didn't offer it to you, and you didn't accept it, but he gave it to you. The word says he gave eternal life. That's so important, so significant that he says, "My sheep know me. They hear my voice." They don't hear the preacher's voice. They hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. It's called the holy calling. When Jesus speaks and he calls, what happens? The end result is you come. You come to him in regeneration. Now, he goes on to say there in John chapter 10, he says, "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like Jesus is telling us that he's keeping us, that we're in his hand, and we're also even in the Father's hand, and he's keeping us. The Lord said to Moses, "You be sure and you tell Aaron to bless the people with these very words. The Lord bless thee and keep thee." I hope that you'll always remember how important it is that God says that he's going to keep us. Because if he doesn't keep us, I'll tell you, we're in a lot of trouble. God has to keep his people, and he's promised that he would do that. Psalms 121 says, "He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper." He's our keeper this morning, beloved. He's been the keeper of his people all these days. He's still the keeper of his people, and he will continue keeping his people until the day of Jesus Christ when he comes back. The Lord is our keeper. I like that. Lord said, "You be sure and bless my people with these exact words." Verse 25, he says, "Be sure and tell them, Aaron, that the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." Make sure you tell my people, bless them, and tell them that my face will shine upon thee and that I'm going to be gracious unto thee. I love the thought of the glory of the Lord's face shining down upon his people. I love that thought. David said in Psalms 34:15 that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. He also says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, if the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, that means his face is upon us. He's looking down upon the righteous, which is his people. He's doing that, and his ears are open to our cries. I try to imagine what it must have been like in Matthew chapter 17. Do you remember when Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, I call them? I don't know why, but they got to go further than a lot of the other disciples. They got to see miracles up close and personal. Jesus took them a little further oftentimes. But he took Peter, James, and John, those three, he took them up upon this mountain, and it says that he was transfigured before them. You remember that? He was transfigured before them, and it says that his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment, his clothing, was white as the light. You remember that? Can you imagine what it must have looked like when Jesus was transfigured before them and his face began to shine as the sun? Now I'll tell you, at the time this happened, those three men that were with him there, Peter, James, and John, they were still mortal men. They were just mortal men. Now, I know that God has already told Moses back in the Old Testament, no man can see my face and live. You remember when Moses asked to see the Lord? Show me thy glory. And what did the Lord do? He put Moses in a cliff of the rock and he covered him with his hand and he said, I'll pass by and then I'll remove my hand and you can see my back parts. But he says, no man can see my face and live. That just makes me believe that when Jesus was transfigured on that mountain and Peter, James, and John saw his face shining as the sun, I still don't believe they saw it in its full glory. I don't know how he did it, but it makes me think they did not see the full glory because I don't think they could see it and live. But Jesus showed them a very special moment, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone, and his clothing was shining and was bright as the sun. And yes, we cannot look upon the face of God and see the literal face of God right now because our bodies cannot take it. We wouldn't survive. But can you imagine the brightness of the face of the Lord looking down upon his people? I tell you, we can sure receive the radiant beams of his glory and of his greatness and certainly the smile of his approval upon his people when we hearken diligently unto him and we try to obey his commandments and we just try to do the very best that we can in our lives as we walk before him. We can certainly imagine the smiling countenance of the Lord and shining down and looking upon us with a smile of being pleased with his people. God said, you tell my people, tell Aaron to bless them and say, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and to be gracious. Paul told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know what that means, what Paul just said? He says God literally shined the face of Jesus Christ into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He shined it in our hearts and he gave us knowledge about him. I'll tell you, if the Lord doesn't do that, you don't receive this knowledge. You can't go pick this up just anywhere down the street. The Lord has to do this work. And he shines it into the heart of his people. And he teaches us about the glory and shows us about his glory. I just love that. The Lord is gracious to us also, isn't he? He's gracious to his people. He said, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. I'm so thankful that the God that we serve, our Creator God, is a gracious God. Amen. He's full of grace and full of truth, but he's gracious unto his people. David said in Psalms 145 that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Is He a God of judgment? He most certainly is. I'll tell you, when the Lord returns, He's going to return in the form of the Lion of the tribe of Judah to some people. To some of us, He'll be returning as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the one that redeemed us from our sins, our Savior. But to some people, He'll appear as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God is a God of judgment. He certainly is. But I'll tell you, unto His people, when His people make efforts to try to obey Him and to serve Him and to love Him and to do right by Him and to honor Him in the ways that He's requested, I'll tell you, God is gracious to His people. He said He's full of compassion. David said He's full of compassion, He's slow to anger, and He's of great mercy. God has a lot of long-suffering. Aren't you thankful this morning that our God has long-suffering? Boy, if He didn't, I'd be toast many years ago. I'd be gone if He wasn't long-suffering. I'm thankful that He is. He's gracious unto His people. He said, Aaron, you be sure and tell them that the Lord will make His face shine upon thee and He'll be gracious. He said in verse 26, He said, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now, how about that for a good thought? The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee. You know who He's going to do that for? People that He loves. God's going to lift up His countenance upon you because He loves you. He's promising to do that. He's telling Aaron, you bless my people with this promise that the Lord will lift up His countenance upon thee and He'll give thee peace. Countenance, to me, it's the appearance and expression of His face, His presence, and His person. That's what His countenance is. It's the appearance and expression of God's face. He said He would lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. That's a beautiful thought to me, that God would care enough about us to lift up His countenance upon us in such a good fashion. David said in Psalms 11, verse 7, that the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. What is God doing? He is looking upon His people, the upright and the righteous, those that He loves, those that His Son has saved and He gave His Son for. He's looking upon them and He says His countenance doth behold them. What a beautiful picture in my mind. Psalms 89:15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, how? In the light of thy countenance. God smiling down with approval upon His people, with loving approval upon His people, and the radiant beams of His glory and greatness shining down upon us and lightening our pathway for us. That is literally what God has promised to do for His people that'll obey Him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a merciful God that has promised to do that? That He would shine His countenance upon us and light our pathways in life. I need that. How about you this morning? I need that in my life. I need the light of God to guide me through this dark world. We absolutely need it. He's promised to give us peace as well. We talked a few Sundays back about the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that one of His names was the Prince of Peace. We talked quite a bit about the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised to not only lift up His countenance upon us, but to give us peace. Friends, you don't have any real peace in your life unless God gives it to you. All you have is very fleeting and temporary contentment or satisfaction that lasts just for a little while, except God give you true peace. I'll tell you, the Lord gives peace in the hearts of His people. I trust that you have peace in your homes now because the Lord has given it to you. I trust that our families can enjoy peace. Now, I know the world doesn't go perfect. It never will. We'll always have hiccups and roadblocks and bumps in the road and unforeseen things happening to us in this life. We'll always have that. It'll be a lot of tribulation here in this world, but I'll tell you, there's a peace that God gives to his people that cannot be found anywhere else. God said, I'll give you the peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave unto you, not as the world giveth, but my peace I'll leave it with you. Great promises from our Lord. Psalms 4 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That's how we sleep at night. We lie down in peace because the Lord only by himself makes us dwell in safety. David said in Psalms 29 that the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I hope you take that as a solemn promise from the Lord. What David wrote in Psalms 29, that the Lord will give strength to his people and he will bless us with peace. Does anybody have too much peace in their life today? Are you overflowing? Are you on overload because you have too much peace? I'll tell you, I don't. I need more. I'm thankful that for the peace that we have, but I feel like I need more. I feel like the way this world's going, I'm going to need more and more every day in the future. I'll need a lot of peace. Well, God has promised, and he told Aaron, he says, you tell my people that I'll lift up my countenance upon thee and I'll give you peace. I'll tell you, this may be some of the greatest promises we've ever read about, that the Lord is telling Moses here, do you tell Aaron to bless my people with this particular prayer? This blessing, you put this exact blessing upon my people. How beautiful is that, that we're reading the very words of God? He says, you speak the very words to my people. Bless them in this manner. You know, I believe that God did not put an expiration date on this blessing. I believe it's still here, and it's still working for you and I today. I feel like God is blessing us today in every manner that he's just named here, he is still blessing us today in our families. I know that he is. This blessing has not expired. The last verse says that, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. There's something special about the Lord placing his name upon his people. I'm thankful this morning that we have been given the great privilege by God of placing his name upon us and putting his banner of love overhead, above us, and his name of his church, that we have those things that we're able to claim the name of the Lord for ourselves and say we're part of that. God has given us the privilege of using his name and saying we belong to him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God said, I shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. What great promises from God. What a better way to start out the new year than be reminded of the great promises, the solemn promises that God has made to bless his people. I believe that we've been blessed because you're so faithful here. We have such a faithful band of believers, this little body of Christ here. And I know there are other good churches in our area and in the region. There's God's people are all about. And God's people are good and they're faithful and everywhere. And wherever they are, God blesses his people. But I believe you're a special bunch and God has manifested how much he loves you. He showed you how much he loves you by the way he blessed this church last year. What a good way to come and to start our new year and to be aware about the name of the Lord and the privilege that we have of being under his name. Solomon said in Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it and is safe. David said in Psalms 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord. There's a lot of places people are looking for help today. But David says our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's something special about the Lord's name, isn't it? I believe, wasn't it the third commandment that God gave to his people that said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? Because the name of the Lord is special to him, and it's a great honor and it's a great privilege for you and I to take his name upon us and to walk before him and say, we have the name of the Lord over us and with us. I love that. How is it that a believer, how is it that a disciple or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to take his name upon them and to go forward? It's through baptism. It's through the door of entry into the Lord's church, which is water baptism. That's how you take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you. Because what happens when we're baptized in water? You're baptized how? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Trinity, the Holy Trinity. You're baptized in the name of God. That's how you take the name upon you and you're able to walk and go forward and to go through life's way and life's pathways carrying the name of the Lord. Is when you follow him in gospel obedience. You remember what he said at the beginning of this. He says, if you will hearken unto me diligently, I will be faithful to bless you. I'll tell you, this promise is not expired. God's people who are still doing these things and who are following him in obedience are still receiving the blessings today. That's why we're receiving them here, because so many of you have been so faithful for so many years. Don't you love this little passage of scripture here at the end of number 6? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Over and over, God saying, bless my people in this way. Tell them what I'll do. Tell them how I will bless them. There's been a lot of Bible commentators who have noted the fact that the Lord commanded 3 blessings in a row using the name of the Lord. 3 times in a row. And some people have suggested that that might possibly even foreshadow the teaching of the Holy Trinity, which we learn about in the New Testament. And maybe so. I mean, it doesn't prove that there's a Trinity here, but it certainly could foreshadow that which would be unveiled unto us later in the New Testament that we do read about, and we do learn that the Godhead does consist of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, of 3 separate and distinct persons who function as one. We learn that in the New Testament. It is a good thought, but I love these verses here, and I love to think about them. You know, when Paul was writing his letters to the Corinthian church, he ended the second letter in this way. His salutation, the second letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth, he ended it by saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. He just basically said, may the Trinity of the Godhead be with you all. Amen. What a better way to sign off a letter. What a great blessing to bless the Lord's people with. I'll tell you, that church at Corinth, they had a lot of problems, didn't they? They certainly did. They had all manner of problems at the church at Corinth. They were not perfect, but the Lord never gave up on them. And I believe the Apostle Paul worked very diligently to try to help remedy and correct many of the problems that they had, and it sounds like they were very successful. But what a great thought as we enter into the new year about this particular blessing. God said, command Aaron to give this blessing to my people. I hope you know in your heart, and I hope you feel in your heart today, that this blessing still pertains and still applies to the Lord's people. If we'll hearken diligently to His word, and we'll follow Him, and we'll be careful to obey His commandments and His precepts, God is so loving, He's so long-suffering and merciful, and He's full of grace. He's a gracious God. He loves His people. He loves you. May you continue to serve Him with all the zeal you can muster in your heart, and may He continue to bless you and your families in a very special way. May God bless and keep each of you.